This is Doug Miller. Satan, standing before the throne of God. What is he doing there? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and honored to be able to be back with you again with the Word of God in hand. It is indeed quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is through this word that faith comes. God promises that this word will never return to him void. It will accomplish that which he pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And right now it is being sent forth to all of you who have tuned in, and it will profit. It'll do what God intends for it to do, and we're delighted to have you. I don't know why you tuned in. Maybe you were just dialing up and down on your radio. Maybe you don't know why you tuned in, but I can tell you why you tuned in. You tuned in, whether or not you're even saved, you tuned in because God wants you to hear this. And you are here. You have a divine appointment, and it is, you're going to be hearing the Word of God, and this, for some of you, will be the most important incident of your life to date. So, bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to the book of Job. We are in the first chapter of Job. We ended with verse 6 last time. We hardly scraped the surface, but we're going to pick it up again in verse 6 this time. So, you just open up Job chapter 1, verse 6. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for the purpose of seeing this word go out. Far out as we can get it, to as many as we can get it out to, that's it. That's what we do. If you're waiting for an encore, that's what we will do again and again and again as long as it is the Lord's pleasure to keep us in this position and able to speak into this microphone. To fulfill our purpose, we require your assistance. Please, all of you, the Lord's people, write Dialogue down and pray for Dialogue and support Dialogue. Talk to others about us. Tell others to listen in. You are the only support we have. We are a faith ministry. We are not supported by any denomination, any organization out there. So we need your help, and we would always love to hear from you. I cannot tell you what a joy it is to get letters from listeners. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, please keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you want to email, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you want to learn more about Dialogue and pull down the programs and listen to them, we've got a web page that's got all that on it. That is Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. DialogueMinistries.org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be delighted to talk to you. We don't have a secretary answering phones, and we're not going to have. That would be an outlay of money that we don't need. We are very conscious of the necessity of spending the money that comes in wisely and properly. So no secretaries. Just call, and you will get a message, and leave a message, and I'll get back with you. The number, area code 405-535-9089. That is 405-535-9089. All right. Preliminary's over. Here we go into verse 6 of chapter 1 of Job. When we were in here the last time, we saw the sons of God coming to present themselves before Yahweh. And we saw that Satan came with them. Now, Satan is a Hebrew word, Satan, ha-Satan, which means the adversary. We also know him as the devil, and because of the Greek, which means diabolos, means a slanderer, an accuser. And, of course, these names that he bears are the names that describe perfectly who and what he is and what he does. Now, this Satan was not always in the position that he is in. I have not got the time nor the inclination at this point to go into a lengthy stretch of teaching about Satan and who and what he is, but I can tell you this. We will just very briefly go into it. If you will, kindly, hold your place there and turn to the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Let's look at this Satan. I don't know of any reputable teachers of the Bible that I personally would pay any attention to, and there are many of them that I do listen to. There's some very fine teachers out there. I don't know any of them who don't agree that this 28th chapter of Ezekiel, the king of Tyrus, is not Satan. Now you say, well, why does it say the king of Tyrus? Well, here is why it says that. Because in this case, the king of Tyrus, you'll notice that the first chapter of opening verses of this 28th chapter of Ezekiel talks about the prince of Tyrus. There is no doubt that the prince of Tyrus was a human living on this earth, and there is also no doubt that behind this prince of Tyrus living on this earth, that there was a spiritual entity standing that energized him and gave him strength and power. Now, this kind of goes off in a direction that you might say, well, we were looking at Job, now we're over here in the heavenly places looking at these beings and so forth. Yeah, well, we need to. We need to. So we're going to take just a little bit of time before we get back to Job, and we're going to look at this. The king of Tyrus standing behind and energizing the prince of Tyrus is an unseen being. This prince of Tyrus that we encounter in the very second verse of this 28th chapter of Ezekiel could not see this king of Tyrus, probably wasn't even aware that he was there. Now listen to me carefully, friends. And what I am about to tell you, you can put this in the bank, and some of you will believe it and some of you won't. Some of you will say, well, you know, you spent too much time reading Homer. And for those of you who haven't read the Iliad, let me tell you, of course, that we've got a war going on in Troy, and all these kings and soldiers and armies, both the Greeks and the Trojans, are all being energized and egged on and urged on by unseen forces on Mount Olympus and the Olympian gods and so forth. Well, it just so happens that in this case, Homer got it right, maybe by accident. I don't know why he got it right. But you can read the book of Daniel, and you can read this passage in Ezekiel, and it doesn't take you a lot of understanding and intelligence, assuming you are willing to take this word literally, to understand that political powers and kings and rulers and those who have power on this earth over humans are energized by unseen spiritual forces. Paul calls them the prince of the powers and the authorities in the air. He talks of this back in the book of Ephesians. For those of you who have read it, you will know this. There are authorities out there. There are hierarchies out there. There are unseen spirit forces of great power out there. And these are the ones that Paul in Ephesians 6 says that we wrestle against. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, who heads up all of these powers and these authorities and this incredible array of evil, wicked forces? Here is the man. He is identified in verse 12 of Ezekiel 28 as the king of Tyre. All right, let's read about him here. King of Tyre, thou sealest up the sum. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, in the wildest hyperbole, you wouldn't talk about a physical human ruler in this way. But God is talking to someone. And he is talking to someone that is far above any kind of human that you can name here. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now we are talking about a created being that is far above and beyond anything that we have ever seen on this earth. Oh, he's here, he's around, but we don't see him. And if you know anyone out there who claims to be able to see him, you better start praying for that person, because they're in more trouble than they can shake a stick at. All right? Notice in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, here is God talking. He created this being, and he set this being in a high place and called him the anointed cherub that covers. Now, cherubim always have in us a very high relationship to God. God is the one dwelling between the cherubim, we read back in the book of Psalms, and they stand in a covering, almost I would say a defending posture of the throne of God. You will notice that when Adam and Eve sinned in Eden and were cast out, it was the cherubim that were placed at the gates of Eden on the east to keep them from ever coming back that way, and they had flaming swords. Here is the anointed cherub that covers. That covers what? Well, I am convinced, and this is important, and it is important to our study of the book of Job, and it is very important to you as you understand what is going on in your life and why this being that we are looking at here is called the accuser, diabolos, the devil, and the adversary, Satanah. All right? He was the anointed cherub that covers. That covers what? Well, the book doesn't tell us, but I am willing to go out on something of a limb and make a, I think, intelligent, I wanted to say guess, but that's not the word I'm after. No, I think this is more certain than that. I think he was placed in a covering position over the throne of God, and that his business, in a very real sense, was to protect the throne of God from any besmirchment. Is there such a word? Well, I just used it. I hope you understand it. Nothing that defiled could come in. This creature was in a protective position over the throne of God. And what a magnificent creature he was, covered with precious stones. He was in the mountain of God, walking up and down in the midst of stones of fire. Look at verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. There we get this word created again. This is not some being that just popped into existence out there. God made him. He says, till iniquity was found in thee. Now, here we have one of the great mysteries, the mystery of iniquity. How did the iniquity come in? Well, I don't know exactly how, but I know that it did come in. And I know, and we'll look perhaps at a passage in Isaiah here in a little bit. But right now we're looking at this. Iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may be holy. Now notice that every one of these statements is a future statement. I will do it. It has not, listen to me carefully, friends, it has not been done yet. It has not been done yet. It is yet in the future. It will be done. This creature will be cast out of heaven. And let's read some more here. Thou, in verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know thee among the people. Among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now that is the future of this marvelous creature. And very quickly, lest we run completely out of time here, I want you to look back and let's see. We have this creature again, and I will see if I can find this. Well, we have this creature, and I am sorry to tell you that I came in here slightly. It's in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. There you are. Had a little trouble finding it, but better late than never. All's well that ends well. Look at Isaiah 14, and we have this creature again. Once again, all Bible expositors that for whom I have any respect and who are taking this word literally all agree, so far as I know, that the passage beginning in Isaiah 14:12 refers to the Shining One, Satan. Here he is again. Let's read it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be future again, brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword. Now, we have in this passage a little insight into what got Satan kicked out of the position that he occupied. It was pride. He was lifted up by pride, pride in his own beauty. He really thought that he could be like God and equal to God. And this is how the sin came in, and this is why, of all the sins, God hates the sin of pride, I am persuaded, more than all of the sins. Now turn back to Job. We have this creature in chapter 6, or chapter 1, verse 6, and he has come back into the presence of God. What is he doing there? Well, we're not going to have time to get very far into this, but let's see. God himself asks him, Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. That's no answer. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It is the perfect answer. What is he doing? Well, once again, I am going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, and some of you may disagree with this, but it is my opinion that this creature, Satan, still believes that he is doing that for which he was created. What was he created for? To protect the throne of God and to protect God from anything that would defile or that would dishonor his character. Now, God is utterly and absolutely righteous. What would defile God? What would bring God down and make him be like this creature? Why, sin would be. What is Satan doing walking around in the earth and going up and down in it? He is looking for sinners so that he can accuse them. What does Satan fail to understand? And once again, we'll get into this next time. What does he fail to understand? He does not understand grace. He has never understood grace. He will not face the simple fact that the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is efficacious to take away sin, and that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. And he is therefore about to accuse Job and friends. If you are saved, he is accusing you before the throne, night and day. Well, we ran out of time. You'd better come back next time and hear where we go with this. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.